Table for two, please. Welcome to a podcast normally about TTRPGs, why we love them, why we play them, but now it's about video games. I'm Volpus Valentine. With me, as always, is my co-host, Cadmore.
Hello, and welcome back to Table for Two. I was really confused there, Volpus, if you were going to introduce yourself and me, or you were just going to...
They know who we are.
Yeah, because... You know, they're just so excited every week to get back to the next episode, and they're just all week hitting refresh on Spotify. The big old refresh button that we all have in the top right corner.
I was going to say, the big old refresh button on Spotify.
You guys don't have that? I must be paying for a premium version.
Oh, yeah. It's an additional feature.
That's what happens when you have the when you pay for the Patreon, is you get a refresh button on your subscription page.
Yep, and it actually doesn't refresh the page, because Spotify's pages are live anyway.
It actually refreshes your donation, so every time you guys hit refresh, it's just giving us another...
Don't tell them. You're not supposed to say that part.
All right.
I'm gonna cut that.
Go ahead, restart. Yeah, restart.
And cut. Okay.
Welcome back to Table for Two.
Here we are, tabling, toing.
Expeditioning.
Welcome back to our playthrough, our play along of Expedition 33. As a reminder, I have played the game before. This is my new game plus playthrough, and Cadmore has not.
It's like you say that to rub it in or brag, and I don't know why you need to continue to remind me that this is your second playthrough. As if that makes you better than me.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, it does. And number two, it's just to set a little context, because there are things that you have said and that you have guessed at or that you have intimated. And me and the listener who have played the game, we're over here. We're in the corner. We're going, hee, hee, hee. Ooh, he doesn't know.
Okay, so it's not just you. It's everyone else, too, that's played the game before.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah. Just so we're clear, it's not me against you. It's everyone against you.
It's me against the world. When you said it's context, I thought you were going to say it's a contest. And I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's a contest.
I'm going to play the rest of the game before next week. Start my new game plus, come back around, and it'll be me that's played it twice.
Yeah. Well, I'll just also finish the game, and now I'll be on New Game Plus Plus. Yeah. That's where you get the secret ending, where everyone is dogs.
Woof. Woof, woof, woof.
And you'll do that, and you won't let me play Hero Dog. Interesting. All right. What do we do for this week's play? What do we do?
Yeah, according to my map, which I definitely don't have pulled up right now, and I'm not scrolling or panning through. As a reminder, we played through the
Go on. Yeah, no. Straight from the memory.
But I, even with the map in front of me, I'm spacing on it.
Okay, well, I'll help you out here.
I know the second half. We played through Eske's Nest, but what came before Eske's Nest?
We played through the Ancient Sanctuary.
And the Gestural Village.
Yes, the Gestural Village.
It just feels like it's so far into the past, because I played Ancient Sanctuary and Gestural Village early in the week, thinking that was where we were supposed to stop. And then I texted you midweek and was like, we were supposed to stop at Eske's Nest, right? And you're like, no, you're an idiot. Keep playing.
Those were my exact words. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just confused, because Eske's Nest is what I played most recently.
Yeah. Yeah. We stopped after Eske's Nest. There's some open world stuff that you can do, but the important thing was not to enter the Stone Wave Cliffs.
Stone Wave Cliffs. I am standing in front of it right now.
Nice. This was a denser episode than last time. I figured that the way that the release schedule was operating, it would be good to make the second episode pretty short, because it's a short window from Friday to Monday. And seeing as now the listener will have a full week in between, I thought we should load this one up a little bit. Also, there's a lot of story content in these three sections, but each of them are fairly short gameplay wise.
I think the Gestural Village is a little bit denser just because there's like so many things to interact with
Yeah.
compared to the Ancient Sanctuary or Eske's Nest, but it was an achievable chunk for sure to get through in a week.
And next week's will be short. It will just be the Stonewave Cliffs.
That's good.
Because
That's a nice little kind of
yeah, and
longer week, shorter week.
there's it's sort of like a good stopping point. There's like a sort of a break, which is
Would you consider
fun to
that
discuss.
where we're at right now still part of Act One, or was leaving?
No, this is I mean the game is in three acts.
Okay, so are we in
So
Act Two right now?
no, we are in Act One still.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
And then I believe that our next episode will end Act One.
Got it. There was a few spots that are the overworld extras to visit that I had like kind of questions about. So I did like a quick Google search to see if I was like missing something. And the internet is confusing and people have varying opinions on things, and so I kept seeing Act One and Act Two related to like the Twilight Quarry or whatever, and it's like I was under the impression that we were still in Act One, but then people were saying that Lumiere was Act One, the main continent was Act Two, and I was like, that I don't think
Yeah,
that's what
that's
Volpes
not.
has said.
Well, no, and then the game says Lumiere is the prologue in Act One.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's what I thought.
it will tell you. It'll have a big title card.
Never trust the internet.
Never. So do you want to do just like a general overview, or do you want to do a rundown? How do we want to approach this? Because we've got three distinct areas to break down. There's a lot of story content in each of them.
Yeah, do you want to break down Ancient Sanctuary into Gestural Village, and I'll do Eske's Nest?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, following the events of us leaving the Flying Waters, we reunited with Mael, and we have now the curator floating around, hanging out in our camp.
Like a creep.
Like a creep, we were told that to get to the monolith and the Paintress, which is still our objective, we're going to need to cross some more water. And Eske can help with that. But to get to Eske's nest, we need a password, and the password is held by Golgra, who is the village chef or chief. They sort
We're
of
not
go.
sure because you can't really understand what they're saying.
And they go back and forth
Yeah.
about what it is. I think there's actually a bit of dialogue where you say, where Mael says, "You're the chef,"
Chef. Yeah.
and Golgra says, "Yup."
Hey, you can be both.
You both, yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive.
It's true. So we go through the ancient sanctuary to reach the Gestural Village. There we encounter several like machines built and operated by the Gestrals that are sort of like kind of like sentinels, guardians, almost automaton, or more like mech suits.
I felt like they were their version of Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yeah, that's better. That's more accurate. So they got their Rock'em Sock'em robots, and at first, you're like, "Whoa, what was that?" And then you realize that it's Gestrals, and you're like, "Well, we're friends. We're not Nevrons." And they're like, "Yeah, but it would still be pretty cool if these things fought you."
Yeah. And then the first one that you interact with and then beat as it like falls to the ground and crumbles, it's just two kids
Yeah.
standing on top of each other in a trench coat.
Essentially. And they're like, "Oh crap, that one was supposed to be invincible."
Yeah.
So yeah, you fight your way through the ancient sanctuary, fighting Gestrals in their Saka Patates. Fun
Yeah.
fact, do you know what Saka Patate means?
Absolutely not.
It means potato sack. It's
That makes sense.
just
Sack of
French.
potatoes, yeah.
It's just French for potato sack. Which I did not know until after I had beaten the game. I guess I just never said it out loud.
I mean, as soon as you said it and you asked, that was like I heard potato,
Yeah.
right? And then I flashed to the costume that you get, and I was like, it can't be that easy. And then you said it, and I was like, oh, okay. It was like last week's episode where we both were like, oh yeah, Normandy Beach, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. Anyway, you reach the Jestral Village, where you have many encounters with the interesting inhabitants of the village. You meet some characters, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but ultimately you run into Golgra, who is the chief chef, both. And she says that, yeah, I'll give you the password, but you gotta fight in our badass, super cool arena first. So you do that, and that is where you encounter another expeditioner, another survivor named CL. And
CL, yeah.
after reuniting with her, putting on a show, really to entertain the Jestrals.
It's just funny how often you, as a player, as an expeditioner, beat the crap out of a fellow expeditioner
Yeah.
in this game.
It is a little funny. And then you reunite with CL. There's some good scenes back at the camp, but I think we'll stop right there and just sort of break those two sections down a little more fine grain. So what do you think of the Ancient Sanctuary?
I think that my memory of the Ancient Sanctuary is honestly like clouded by the kind of overwhelming opportunity to interact with everything in the Jestral Village. So I don't necessarily have a ton to say about that because as I think back to playing earlier in the week, I think I spent 3 hours in the Jestral Village trying to make sure that I covered everything, running circles and circles and circles to make sure I didn't miss anything. So honestly, I do not like give me a little bit more context of what the ancient sanctuary is
Yeah,
so
the
I
ancient
can remember.
sanctuary was just the red, very like lush forest area that was crawling with the Sacapatates. It's a short area, which is why,
Yeah.
it's why I felt more confident about putting all three areas into the one episode. It's mostly just the Sacapatate fights, and then some gestural antics. I mean, don't have a ton to say about it, so we can just go right into the gestural
I,
village.
yeah, and I, now that you're saying that too, I do remember like getting to the Jestral Village like within probably 20 minutes or less. Like I felt like, especially because I don't know what level are your characters right now, out of curiosity.
99.
All right. Did you just grind?
They've been max level since
Oh,
my
because,
the end of my last playthrough.
oh, New Game Plus, you're just playing the same. You
You
start
keep
over with the
everything.
same. Got it. Okay. What's the point then?
It raises the health and damage and defense of they're basically stat boosts all the enemies that you encounter, particularly the bosses. So there's still some mild challenge. I would say it's been a pretty easy ride for me.
Yeah, it seems a little silly to have that be like, even if all the creatures' stats got boosted, just the beginning of the game is going to be so easy. Like you would have to make it way, way harder at the beginning to introduce any challenge.
You can add different they added a patch where you can
Like
modify
modify.
your playthrough. You can customize it with specific parameters, like you can boost enemy health even further or enemy damage. You can cut your own damage.
I think I saw that in settings.
But mostly I've just been playing to get the story again
Right.
and enjoy the visuals and the music.
So I think I'm like at the end of Eske's Nest. I think I'm in like the mid-20s in my at my level. But I think going through Ancient Sanctuary is probably like 15 to 20, somewhere in there. And I don't know what like the do any of the story zones ever have a red like danger portal, or is it only the auxiliary
Not to
overworld
my
map?
knowledge. I think if you are generally like fighting most enemies that you come across, you'll be on par for what level you're supposed
Okay.
to be. You don't have to like stop and grind a bunch.
Right. I think that's just maybe why Ancient Sanctuary is probably so fast, is because I have done a little bit of grinding up to this point. Only because I've explored the map repeatedly and just have been running around, and I obsessively rest just in case I run into something that's going to surprise me.
That's
But
good. It's a good impulse.
it does feel like Ancient Sanctuary from my memory was less than 20 minutes to the Gestural Village. So,
Yeah, I'd say it was probably about the same for me, between 20 and 30 minutes. So,
all right.
but it's
Yeah, let's maybe
pretty.
just
It's
cut.
a nice environment, and it's fun to see the Gestrals
For sure.
be goofy,
Yeah.
and also it gives you some context for like how they have survived against the Nevrons. Is they have these goofy robots and they love fighting in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's go right into the Gestral Village. I'll quickly list off some just like facts we learn about Gestrals, lore wise. They are these little wooden doll like creatures if you're not playing. They have like paintbrush heads. They wear these like little masks instead of having faces, and they come in many different sizes and shapes. And they love to fight, and they are also functionally immortal. Something that they say is like, yeah, some of them are really, really old, but also when they die, when they get like beaten so bad,
They come back.
they come back. They gather chroma and they go to this place called the Sacred River, and they like rebuild. There's even one Gestral who says that like, oh, I used to be Big Patate, and my dad, he couldn't tell me what to do, but now I'm Small Patate and he's Big Patate, so this really sucks.
Yeah, well, is that the same one that's like, I've been alive again for 7 hours and I have to start training to get
No,
big and strong.
that's a different one, but yes, there
Okay.
is one who's like, and I think it's your hour count
Yeah.
on the game.
What? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because mine's, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe mine said that like, oh, I've been only alive for 126 hours.
Jeez. That would be hilarious if that was this playthrough's time. I'm at 7 and you're at 129.
That's a nice little touch, that he said. I think he even goes to like the minutes. He's like, I'm 126 hours point or point whatever
Yeah, that
hours
sounds
old.
right. Yeah.
Just give me high level what, because the Gestral Village is like, I mean, iconic. All these
Yeah.
interactions are so funny, are so good. I think my first playthrough, I was sort of blown away by how grim and serious and thoughtful the game could be, while perfectly balancing like some of the just goofiest, doofiest, dorkiest humor I've ever heard.
I think it's a little overwhelming at first, but it still has the same like it has the same excitement that any kind of bigger game does when you get to like the main hub. You know, you arrive at Baldur's Gate finally, although you haven't like played the game as nearly as long as you would before you get to Baldur's Gate, but this is like the first big settlement that you get to, right? And so you have the exploration excitement that goes along with that, but then you provide this whimsical value of the gestrals, and just that alone is enough to like supply me with 3 hours of running around and not getting bored trying to make sure that I've done everything. The the way that they've set up their settlement in the environment, like the mix of kind of the natural environment with the artificial material that they used from, you know, the destruction of the world, from things that they've just built. You get a lot of like wooden scaffolding, kind of like really wobbly, definitely not structurally sound, just like planks of wood that are stacked on top of each other. You get like the big bulbous lamp post, like kind of huts that they've built. You see the sacapatate, like kind of varying sizes, right? Small ones and monolithic ones that they're building. You get crowds that are fighting. You get individuals that are training for the arena. You get the bazaar. You get a just vast spectrum of attitudes towards you
Oh yeah.
that vary from like, what's up? You're my friend. I love humans, to I'm gonna beat the shit out of you, to get away from me, to like all sorts of you know, dispositions towards the expedition party members. Yeah, it's just it's a really fun kind of tangent.
Yeah.
That's like mildly attached to the main storyline. But I think most of the stimulus from that is just tangential. It's just additional content to make the game better,
Yeah,
right? To make it feel more immersive.
it all adds. It's all funny. It's all entertaining. And like, there's shops here, you know, that you can interact with and get some new gear, get some new weapons. You can get a crappy wooden sword. Did you get
Yep, I'm
that?
glad. Oh yeah, I'm so glad that I spent money on that.
Yep, hell yeah. Did you get ambushed in a back alley?
They tried.
Yeah, they tried. Oh, but on New Game Plus, they tried. Let me tell you. You couldn't tell to look at it, but they were trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the one dude that's just like, go fuck yourself. Like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I would never associate with a human.
Yeah. And then you talk to a different guy who's like, that guy over there is a real jerk. And you can agree with him. And if you agree with him and then go back and talk to that guy, he's like, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just like, or maybe I do, just want to list like the w funny interactions that you have, because
Do it.
there's so
Yeah, do
many.
it.
You talk to the doctor. There's a big white
Oh
gestrel.
yeah, the guy
Yes.
that's just like sleeping on the ground that
Yeah.
doesn't.
And you say like, hey, you're a doctor. You're supposed to be helping these people. That's your job. And then he gives you a like 7-paragraph backstory about how he was like sick of watching his friends die and getting beat up. And he decided that he was going to be special. He was going to be the only one who knew how to fix things and how to help people. But now he's too tired.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's traumatic.
He's burnt
I
out.
don't blame him.
We've been watching The Pit. We know
He's
how
been
bad
watching the pit. Yeah,
it
exactly.
gets. So yeah, so that one's good. This is sort of like the low point for me, but I did chuckle at it, is the one whose house is on fire, and you talk to him and he just says, this is fine, which is
Yeah.
just that, it's just that
Yeah,
meme.
the meme. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the one who says, let's dance, and then he begins to break dance and like a really, really awkward animation.
I don't think that I interacted with that guy.
Oh yes, over by where there's like a concert stage. Did you miss the concert
Maybe,
stage? Okay.
maybe.
Well, there's one who, if you talk to him, he says, let's dance. And then he just starts to
Okay.
like awkwardly in place break dance. And he'll continue to do it until you leave.
There is the one of my favorites was the section of the village that's like being built still. It's like gonna be something
Yeah.
someday.
What's it gonna be?
And
He tells you what it's gonna be.
does he?
Yes. This is my favorite gestural joke
Okay,
in this area.
what is it?
So you talk to this little gestural who says, I got permission to build over here. I'm going to build a massive casino.
Oh yeah.
And
Okay.
when you ask him about this, he goes, I've looked ahead, I've seen the writing on the wall. In the future, everything is going to be gambling and people will enjoy jazz. It's like, okay. So he's building a massive casino, which is like desolate. There's no one here.
Well, there is though, and that's where I was going with it. Is at the
Yes,
very end,
there is one just from
there's
here.
one building, but all the buildings, including this one, are wood paneled over, right?
Yeah.
It's like a desolate, decrepit, like everything's falling apart. And there's one building that specifically has bright neon purple, like
The
a dice and
cards.
cards,
Yeah.
yeah, above it. And so you go up to that wood door and you interact with it, and there's someone in there that asks you a gambling question. And he's
He
like, I'll give you a prize if you get this right.
said if there's a 50% chance that you would get like double your reward and the 50% chance of getting half your reward, are those good odds or whatever? I'm gonna look up actually, I'm gonna look up the
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does he
He
say?
says, let's say that every time I hit, I have 50% chance dealing 100% more damage. What are my chances of dealing more damage in the long run? And the solution is, I don't care, which is reflecting the gambler's worldview, bypassing the actual mathematical answer.
Yeah.
But if you get it wrong, you can just keep guessing until you get it right. But
And getting it right again to stress the point is to say, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Sim
Yeah.
very s sort of a repeat of the if I were born right now and how long would it be before I go Maj? And all of them are the correct answer because he says, I can't do math anyway.
Yeah. And so if you do that, you get the roulette picto, which offers a 50% chance to deal 50% damage and a 50% chance to deal 200% damage. So.
Yeah, which is it's just that.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't think we've talked that much about the Pictos. It is a big part of the sort of mid to late game, especially is like maximizing damage and effects with Pictos and Luminas. I think it's a pretty good system. But it does bring me into, and I think this is, mark your calendars, mark the occasion. This is maybe the first time in our series that I'm going to say something I really don't like about this game, which is its menus are sort of a nightmare to navigate.
Yes. Yeah. And I think this doubles with the we've talked about this as something that we like about the game, which is that it doesn't feel the need to explain the nitty-gritty details of how everything works. Like it kind of gives you a summary statement in the beginning when you have the tutorial set up of like what something means, but then you kind of are still just expected to like figure it out on your own. And now that I have 30 Pictos to choose from, and I have like a bunch of Lumina points that are stacked up, it's starting to get a little confusing because nothing has been explained. And I understand the effect that the Picto offers. I get that a Picto is like a feat in TTRPG terms. And I get.
And applying the Picto to your character gives stat increases.
Correct.
But if you have mastered a Picto, you can use Lumina points to apply it to your character without the stat boost, but you get the Picto's effect.
Okay, so that's where I'm going with all this is you and I at some point off recording, you're going to need to help me
Yes.
because I have spent my Lumina, but I don't know how or why. And the menu is not clear enough to explain,
No.
like the value on the picto doesn't change. It'll say I'll have like 24 lumina, and then on the picto it'll be like 10, right? And then I'll click on it, and the lumina value will go down. It'll be like 14 out of 24 lumina, But the value on the picto doesn't change to reflect that I just spent 10 on it. And I can't understand, I don't understand why some pictos don't allow me to spend lumina on it. Is that because I haven't mastered them in combat yet?
So I will break the I think this is helpful for the listener because I also struggled with this. Let me break down how this works in the broadest terms.
Good.
Throughout the game, by beating enemies or by collecting them just off the ground, you get pictos. Pictos are passive feats that sort of can modify your combat in many different ways. A lot of them are like conditional. So like if you have this buff, you'll also get this. Or you if you perfect parry, you get plus one AP for your next turn. So very simple stuff. Some of them are modifiers to damage. Hey, if you free aim, shoot someone, and then attack them, that attack will do like 10% more damage or whatever.
Heck yeah.
Pictos all have stat boosts. So some of them will boost your health and your defense or your speed and your crit rate or your just straight up damage, whatever. So you put those on, you apply. You can have three Pictos applied to each character. Once you have fought with them four times, so you've done four different battles with a Picto equipped, you master it, which means that its effect can be applied to any character. They won't get the stat boosts like that are on the Picto itself, but they will get the Picto's effect. It's passive. So if a Picto says like, get 50% more damage on your base attack, and here's, 1,000 health and 200 speed. If you use that as a Lumina on someone else, and you spend your Lumina points to apply it to them, they will get that. Hey, here's your 50% increased base attack. They don't get the increased health and speed. They just get the Picto's like feat effect. It's passive ability. You use your Lumina points to mix and match to create builds. You can apply a Picto and then unapply it freely. It doesn't cost you anything. It's not like you're permanently purchasing that Picto for that character. So this is where like things start to get really complicated because you need to balance like who am I giving extra Lumina points to so that they can get the right Picto for this build setup. And what doesn't help, and this is fun. I do enjoy doing this. It is overwhelming, especially now, at my point of the game, I have 90 Pictos. I have an insane amount of Pictos to choose from. And I still have more to master. I have to balance like what their stat bonuses are for having them applied rather than applying them as Luminas. I have to make sure everybody has the right Lumina points, and I have to be balancing what everyone's distinct builds and playstyles are. So it gets fairly complicated. As I've said before, you can pretty easily brute force this game. If you just learn to dodge and parry really well, none of that matters. You're not going to take any damage. So that's always an option. But for the sickos, for the people who really want to do damage and who want to take on the like optional content, the optional bosses that get absurdly strong and absurdly challenging, you're going to need to learn this stuff.
I am currently, I think, leaning towards not brute forcing because I'm like legitimately trying to apply Pictos to the characters with how I'm playing them that like fit their build. But I don't know if that build is like correct, and I don't know how or why the Luminas are getting applied. So it's like it's getting, I feel like, muddier or more unclear as the game goes on. And I have almost 40 Pictos right now, and 15 of, or not 15, but probably 10 of them are like if you're doing something in single combat. So like those right now are currently useless because I'm not fighting anyone in single combat except for the Gestrals.
When
But
you do the arena fights or when you do like the merchant fights.
and those are like easy enough battles so far. So, anyways, you and I are probably going to need to do some off recording conversations about this, because like I'm not running into any trouble in combat, but like, understanding the game mechanics better would be nice.
And to drive the point home, the menus don't help. They are very cluttered. They are sort of awkwardly arranged. It's sometimes hard to tell where your cursor is, like what you're selecting,
Because
especially on console.
the highlighted thing, the thing that you're targeting, doesn't it it's like incrementally bigger. It's nominally bigger. So
It's tough. It is a thing that a lot of people have complained about, myself included. I really find the menus sort of frustrating, cumbersome to deal with. I have
which
gotten used to it, but
yeah.
through hours of play.
Which is ironic because it's a very simplified menu. Like they went with slim, I think, instead of
It's just
complicated.
lists,
Correct. But when you don't explain the system, the simplification is becomes complex because you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
A maybe like a guided tutorial that said like kind of held your hand in like in some games where it'll say like, okay, we're gonna teach you how to apply Luminas and what mastering Pictos looks like. Try picking this Picto. Okay, see how it's unmastered? All right, we're just gonna master it for you so that you know what this looks like. Okay, now go over to the Lumina menu, see how you can, mix and match these Luminas. Okay, pick that one. See how it's applied now, and your colors of Lumina have gone down. Okay, now unapply it. Oh, see, they went back up. It would be really easy, I think, to do that. And
I'm just looking at my menu right now, and I'm realizing that like Gustav has 15 pictos applied to him through Lumina, and Male and Lune have like one, and I don't know how. Like, and what's funny is Gustav has 27 of 33 Luminas to spend, and Male has 0 out of 33 to spend, but she has almost no Pictos applied to her.
Weird.
So I broke something. Anyways, so Gestural Village, I think that it was funny to arrive at the secret arena first, 2 sessions ago or whatever, when you first kind of start exploring the overworld map, and having a little bit of a struggle with the kind of last two combatants that you face. Partly because I was st still getting used to the controls, the parry especially. But you fight the same characters in the
Same
arena,
guys.
and I destroyed them
Oh yeah.
like in one parry and maybe a series of attacks, one round of attacks, and all four of them were roughed up. So it was kind of funny to circle back to those same characters and just overwhelm them.
I mean, importantly, at the end, you encounter the stranger, who is Ciel. She is a survivor of the expedition. You have this very like cute moment where she like comes out onto the stage. She wields a like a double-bladed scythe as her weapon.
So cool.
It is very cool. And she's like, amping up the crowd, she's doing these big like gestures, she's totally playing it up, and then when she turns to see who she's fighting, she's like, oh my God, like you survived. And there's like a very sweet moment, and then he's like, wait, so we don't have to fight actually, right? And she's like, well, I mean,
Why
they're
not?
why not,
Yeah.
they're kind of expecting a show.
And
And
then the
so
gestures yell, they're like, hey, if you don't fight and put on a show, we're gonna get down there and kick your ass.
exactly. So they're like, all right, so you fight CL. And then again, this game is funny. You interact with, they have this little cutscene after the fact where they talk, they sort of say like, well, how'd you get here? And she says, after the beach, I sort of wandered and I ended up in this yellow forest, which is a place you can go to. It's just north of the Industrial Village. And she says, like, I ended up there and I had to run and hide from Nevrons, and I ended up making my way to the Justral Village. And I mean, they liked that I could fight, and that, so I figured, what
Why
else is
wouldn't I
there?
stay here?
What else is there to do? And then we get this incredible moment where the camera sort of like swoops in close on Gustav, and he says, after the beach, and the music comes in. He says, after the beach, I woke by this waterfall, and Lune just cuts in and goes, we can talk about that later. And the music cuts out. It's so good. It really works for me that, like, oh, look, player has been playing this. We're not going to recap this for them.
Yeah, but it is nice too that you do get that full circle moment to come back to that conversation when you're back at camp and Gustav and Seal have that they finish the conversation and it's still a moment of we're not going to repeat everything. It's just a Gustav's like, "Hey, I was ready to off myself," and Seal's like, before he says it, Seal's like, "Me too. You don't need to explain it. Like, I get it."
And he says, oh, did Lune tell you? She's like, no, just like,
I know you.
I gathered it. Which also implies that, like, oh, you and Lune have talked, somewhere off screen, you talked and brought her up to speed. Which is good. It's a good touch to show that, like, hey, stuff can be happening off screen and you're not gonna miss anything, wild or important, but it gives these characters a more fully fleshed out, realized feeling.
Yeah, and I have to say, some of my criticism from Gustav and Sophie's conversations back in Lumiere, Gustav's dialogue has, I think, improved based on my previous criticism, where a lot of the moments that he has with the characters, especially Maelle now, stuff that's going on with her, he's talking a lot more. His parts of conversations have filled out and he's expressing himself. And I get that it's a different situation now, but I appreciate the fact that, like, you're playing all of the characters, but Gustav is definitely like kind of in the center of it. And I appreciate the fact that when you choose a dialogue option and then he has his fuller half of the conversation, there's just mo there's more substance to it, which I appreciate. There's less gruff, there's less humps, there's less just kind of sighing.
And it's a different situation, obviously, like you said. But you're also, it's good to see more of that, right? To see more of how he interacts in a more casual, friendly manner. Even though they are in this, desperate situation, they have these quiet moments and you get to see him cut loose a little bit and relax and try to be, a good older brother, a good friend, try to be a good leader. And,
I would like to ask you, I mean it, I'm asking someone that has knowledge of the end of the game, but like my perception of CL2 is that she's like a little flirty towards Gustav. Like there's de it definitely seems like there's I can tell that you're like trying not to react any particular
No,
way.
no, no, no. There is relationship stuff in this game.
Well,
It's
it
very
just
light. I will say it's very light, but
For sure. It just it's nice that there's like coming off of the death of Sophie, right? That he isn't a lot of the time in games or stories where someone loses somebody, even if it's not like their current relationship or romance, it's someone in the past, and then they kind of just get pigeonholed for like the remainder of the story until the very end, that they're like this person incapable of experiencing
love ever again.
love ever again. And it's nice that like there's clearly affection that Seal has for Gustav, in a way that's different than like Lune's is like a very mature, like I'm going to hold you accountable. Like, I appreciate you. You're a member of this team. We need you. You have skills. You're an asset, blah, blah, blah. Like, her attitudes towards Gustav is like a very different approach to CL, where she's like kind of immediately flirty or, friend, a friendlier undertone than Lune's interactions with him.
They're and it just shows like that this team, this writing team, understands like that these characters have different relationships. They are not, no pun intended, monolithic. They have depth and they have different ways that they interact with different members of the team.
It's not Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords, where every character that you interact with is just ready to worship
Yeah,
you.
worship at the feet of the exile. No, these people feel like people. Did you use CL at all in combat? Did you try?
I ran her tutorial immediately after you get her. I think that her combat system, her unique combat system is really cool. I have put the points into the skills to build out the skill tree, but I have yet to swap her. I just wanted to get through this section before I attempted to bring someone else out. But I'm very interested in playing that out because I think the inspiration for it is really cool.
Yeah, the so t just do you want to sort of talk about what her combat system is?
I think it's better coming from you, given the fact that you've maxed everyone out to 99 and have
Well,
played it extensively.
yeah, I have put CL in the party on two occasions. So that is all the expertise I can bring. That I have used CL twice. I know exactly which fights they were. It was like the first fight after I first got her. And then I said, you know what? You're gonna sit in the back, actually. And then I used her for a fight where I was following a build guide that was like, oh, for this challenge fight at the end, you need CL to do these things. So CL's thing is she builds up a system, a sort of token system called Fortell. And at the same time,
Fortune.
yeah, she is balancing a meter. She's sort of balancing between like a certain amount of light points and a certain amount of dark points. And depending on which end of the spectrum she's on, she gets like a different kind of bonus, similar to the stances. But if you can perfectly match those in the middle, each skill that she has like pushes her in one direction, more light points or more dark points. If you can get those to perfectly match, you enter Twilight, which is just like, it's kind of like Miles' Virtuous stance. It's just like a big boost in your damage output. And then if she's in Twilight, some of her skills say that they get extra stuff. It is difficult for me to. I have spoken at length about like I love this game's combat. I think it's interesting. There's certainly a great deal of depth. For me, CL is just like the 1 to 7 steps too far of complication, of additional complication. If I'm playing with Gustav, who's very simple, right? Is very straightforward. Lune. So now I'm thinking, okay, what are the cycles I'm running on getting like the max amount of damage and output from the stains? What am I trying to build up? What's like the loop of on this character's skills and attacks that I'm running? And also figuring out, okay, what's the loop on Mael's stances that I'm trying to run? To throw a third party member in there who has the most complicated version of this, like looping, routing your skills to get maximum output, chaining them together, it's just too much. It's just where I step back and I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sandfall. I can't go with you on this journey.
It's a really cool concept that if you were to apply it to like a D&D subclass, I would be really psyched to long term play out. But this isn't a long term campaign. This isn't like something that I get to invest in both the character's backstory and their combat mechanics.
And this isn't your only character. In D&D, you're playing one character, so they can be really complicated because that's all you got to learn.
And that's still difficult
It's still
with one
difficult.
character.
Yeah, I think the best here's a free piece of GM advice. When your players are intimidated by the game, especially for like D&D, just do what I do, which is say, okay, once you've built the character, right? We've gone through the steps and it's guided. I'm here with you. Everything you need to know is just on these three pages. It's just this class. Just look at this stuff. Everything else is either on your sheet or I will go over it. We know when it's happening. You don't have to learn the whole game. You don't have to read all three of the core rule books. You just need to know these, 3 to 10 pages.
If you can't memorize every stat block in the monster manual, why are you even at this table?
Yeah, well,
That's my philosophy.
that's why there's just two of us here on this podcast.
Because you're the only one that'll put up with me.
Yep, I'm the only one who can suffer your demands for perfection. Yep.
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Less is more.
Less is more. So upon leaving the Jestral Village, we get our first, or not our first necessarily, but we get one of Mael's nightmares.
We do. Yep.
Do you remember what happens in this one?
Everyone's having a nice, happy time sitting around the campfire, and then Mael goes, and
Yep.
everything goes black and white, and
Yep. For
she's
the
just.
listener, Cadmore froze, sat bolt upright, and his jaw dropped.
And actually, I applied the black and white filter to the screen as well,
Yeah, it looks
but
really good.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
And.
know how you got that ghostly little girl to
Dude,
stand behind you.
that's my fate. Rude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So she freezes and like very quickly realizes that everyone's like kind of frozen around her. And then there is a woman in a mask that is like kind of a cracked, very like Phantom at the Opera mask where just part of her face is revealed. It's very porcelain in nature. And then there is a. Is the man there immediately?
I think he shows up like seconds later. So she shows up and is like staring at Mael, and everyone else is frozen. So there's like some time dilation or something here. And she's like gesturing. She can't really speak, it seems, but she's like pointing and pointing. And then the man from the beach shows up. Yeah. And they do a lot of like stuff that for me, who has played the game, I'm like, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. But for you, I imagine it's just sort of vague, confusing.
It wasn't necessarily confusing. I think if anything came off as confusing, it may have been that it just happened suddenly while she was awake. And we know from what we'll get to later that when this happens again, she's sleeping, right? So there's like, if it was a dream sequence, it would have been maybe a little bit more of an easy transition, but it wasn't like the shock value was good. It didn't like throw me out of the loop or make me feel uncomfortable within the immersion of the story. But I think what was most interesting is getting a longer look at the man on the beach and just a prolonged look at both of these characters. And I think the thing that stood out, and this is my like I don't know. This is my guess, right? After seeing a sequence and the interaction specifically with Mael, we don't know much about Mael's parents. This seems like
We know that they're dead.
we know that they're dead.
They were gomaged.
Were they? We
Yeah,
know
that
that
yes, that
specifically.
yes, because she says that she was raised in the orphanage and then Emma and Gustav took her in.
Gustav. Okay, interesting. I maybe have missed that part of it. I just knew that her parents were dead, so I think that my perception is maybe now off, but like I think that there's perhaps some relation here. It feels like there's relation in some form.
They
I
seem
think
to know who she is. I
for
mean,
sure.
the man on the beach says, what is he? Are you playing with subtitles?
Yeah.
Does it say his name?
No.
Does it say man from the
Man,
beach?
I don't even think it says man from the beach anymore.
It says
Maybe it
old
does the
man.
first, yes, it says
Old
man,
man.
something man.
Okay. It's not like his name is a spoiler or anything. I just don't
No, it
have
says
it. Yeah.
masked woman as well.
Yeah. Okay. Although he does say her name in the next nightmare.
Say the masked woman's name.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. But I, so part of the reason that I feel like there's some kind of familial connection there is getting the longer look at both of them. He looks very similar to Gustav as well. And that could just be the human realistic like art that they went with. It could have been, you know, the same actor model that was used to create the character. There's a lot of reasons why that similarity could be there. But the fact that they knew Mael, there is similar like structure to hair and face from what you can see from her, and the everything about the man's face is like very similar to Gustav in some way.
And to clarify what I was saying earlier, she's like point the masked woman is pointing like sort of accusatorily at Mael, and the man from the beach says, I know, she has no idea that it's her fault. It's like, what's her fault?
Right. And she can hear all of this too. Like Mael is observing this happen, right? And it's kind of just like frozen. And then when the sequence ends, she is kind of like immediately not screaming, but like sobbing uncontrollably,
Yeah, she's
out of
terrified.
fear. Yeah. And then you get everyone else in the expedition like immediately consoling her, where Lune is taking a much more like practical approach to it,
Yeah,
which is
I love
get
this
as much
scene.
information as you can because it's fresh in your minds, where Ciel and Gustav are like, Lune, chill, let her calm down. And Lune's like, no, we need to know what happened now.
So
Which
good.
I think is a very good conflict to have within the group, within different personalities. Yeah.
I completely agree. It's like we were talking about, these characters just feel so full, so realized, and for Lune to do, and it's not like she's being cruel, right? She's not
No.
like fuck you, little girl, stop crying and tell me what happened. She says, listen, I know that this sucks. You're super scared, obviously, but I need you to tell me what happened. And I need you to be specific, because if you tell me, then we can help. Like, we can help
Yeah.
fight it. And
It's
Gustav
it
is more
yeah.
like, I'm your big brother, so I'm not really worried about the specifics. I just want to make sure that you're okay emotionally.
Yeah, it's like a it's Lune is insensitive at worst, right? But it's like the same thing that a doctor or like a cop would do if someone gets hurt, right? Where it's like, I'm sorry you're in pain, but you give me the information and I can help you. If you don't give me information, I can't help you. Right?
Just sort of dealing with the cold reality of the situation. She's very realistic about what's happening.
Yeah, and it's like from Mael's perspective, like how do you even explain what just happened, right? Like
And she does
I could
try.
she tries. Yeah. And it's got to be like pretty terrifying to be like, yeah, the dude that killed everyone. Like I
Was
just
right
saw
there
him. Yeah.
casually.
Yeah. And has
Literally
blamed
just,
me.
says, so this something is my fault.
Yeah. And then you get, is this, so when this happens, you get to, as Gustav, when you're running around camp, is this the next time that you camp that you, when you interact with Ciel and Lune, they're like, hey, I think Mael wants to talk to you. And so you
Yeah.
get to go over to Mael's spot
She's
where
throwing
she likes to
rocks.
hide. And she, no, this, the first time she's over in the corner, the second time that it happens, she's throwing rocks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you like go have a conversation. She's like concerned about it being her fault. You're like, that's when Gustav's like, hey, maybe I shouldn't take you back. Is that when he says I shouldn't take you back? Like, I'm thinking that you being here is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And like, then I can keep my eye on you, and like, you've been an asset. He, you know, he's consoling her, trying to make her feel better. So.
Yeah, it's a good scene. I mean, their relationship is just so believable and it feels so authentic. And then the other scene is them throwing rocks together, right? That's the second one.
That's after, yeah, that's after SK's nest.
Yes. I think we can just stay with like the camp stuff for now and then we'll get to the SKs.
Okay, yeah. So this happens again,
Yes, she
right?
has another
So,
nightmare, although this one occurs while she's asleep.
and it's a different tone, in my opinion, because the
Yes.
first nightmare is that it's accusatory, I think, because the man from the beach and the masked woman knows she can see them, right? And in the second nightmare, Mael is sleeping and the two reappear and they are effectively like just observing her while she sleeps. And the woman is very like almost treats Mael preciously, right? Like kneels down and kind of like brushes her face
Yeah.
in a very like motherly or caring way, but is also reciting a very like not morbid but melancholy poem or rhyme that's like those who know not. Are you pulling that up right
Yeah,
now?
I'm gonna pull it up right now, but say more.
It's just a very different tone than the first interaction, and I think that it this is part of what like gives me that much harder core familial vibe is that they're almost like concerned about Mael. It's less accusatory this time, and it almost gives a feeling like the man had to like acquiesce letting the masked woman come and visit again, right? Like she maybe like stole away and went and visited Mael while she was sleeping, and then has this little kind of precious moment, and then gets really sad about it. And then the masked man consoles her afterwards, right? And then they leave.
Yeah.
So it's just a very different vibe.
Yes. She says, I'll just read it in full. We also see some images, right? We see some sort of like flashing, very quick images. We see another man who we haven't seen before. We see him in a room that is on fire. And we see this. This is all there. Do you not remember this? You're looking at me like you don't remember this.
It's not even that I don't remember this. Like when I'm playing this game, I'm not doing anything else. Like I don't stream anything else, and I am positive that the only thing that happened with Mael's nightmare was the scene with the man and the woman.
Interesting. I believe at the start there's just like some quick flashing images.
Weird. I don't.
It might be unique to New Game Plus. I don't know that for a fact, but I will
Yeah.
just say what I experience is that we see a character that we haven't seen before, some guy,
Yeah.
who's in a house or a building somewhere, and the room is on fire, and he turns to like face the camera. That's
Interesting.
it. Anyway, in this sequence, this second nightmare, the masked woman says the following. She says, "I envy them, those who can't see, those who know not that they are not, and those who live blithe and free, sins forgotten and thus absolved, a fresh dawn in their playground, while we live in shadows, swimming in ink. We are but a fragile dream, a singular weed, resisting, ever resisting, that iron dirt, that eternal law, those who can't see, those who know not that they are not. Do you know? We are fellows, those who know not that they are not." It's just
Very
like,
poetic, very,
it's very rhythmic.
yeah, dark, gloomy. Definitely gives you, or at least it gave me chills listening to it. Honestly, I feel like you just delivered it better, getting to hear like the whole thing kind of
Thank you.
quickly and in one piece, because hers is like, because it's cinematic, it's broken up very slowly, and so it's hard to like have a full picture of the verse. But it's, yeah, it's really good. And then, so after that happens, when you're at camp and you're playing Gustav again and you're running around, you have an interaction with Mael, who is over on the cliff throwing rocks, and Gustav joins her. Call back to that first scene, the opening scene of the game, where Gustav is throwing something off the balcony, and Mael's like, "Hey, if you could hit the paintress, that'd be like pretty helpful."
Yeah, he'd be saving us a lot of
Yeah, and I think that this is like one of the better dialogue scenes that we've had so far in the game, where Gustav's like full on has like moments of wisdom and also is treating Mael like an equal, like a peer, right? And not a sibling, a younger sibling, not a somewhat a ward that he's guardian over, and is has a like his own moments of humility in it, where she can like jab him back, which I think I really liked this dialogue scene. So
I actually have I found a full transcript of the
do
game.
it.
It's like broken
Yeah.
by chapters. I'm just gonna read part of this. She's throwing rocks and he approaches her quietly and he says, "You've been quiet since you saw those people." And Mael says, "It felt like they knew me, like they actually knew me. I don't understand what's happening, and I feel like I never understood. Like I'm always missing something that everyone else just gets. In Lumiere, life never made sense and I never fit. And now out here, just when it was maybe starting to feel good, this happens." And then she sort of trails off. And Gustav says, "Yep, I hate it too. The things we don't understand, they just make us feel small and powerless. But it helps, you know, to focus on the things that I do understand. The people I care about, who care about me. And, you know, now I feel a little less lost, because at least we're lost together." It's like,
Very good.
sweet, it's good. And then she
Yeah.
laughs at him, and he says, "What? Oh, was it too cheesy?"
Yeah, and then he even goes on to be like, "Look, I was way more lost at 16 than you are."
Yes, and she's when she says, "I heard that because you were only thinking you were," or, "I heard that was because you were only thinking about girls." And he says, "Yeah, but guess what? Girls weren't thinking about me." Which is good. It's
And
really good.
extremely relatable.
Yeah, it's good. It's very funny. So yeah, and then I think that's sort of it for like the camp interactions. Are you continuing to write in the journal?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Good.
Those apprentices built my arm. I'm not gonna just blow them off and not.
Yeah, you gotta help these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I sh did I show you my collector's edition stuff?
Oh, the music box?
I showed you that. Did I show you the other thing?
No.
So it comes with like a
Is it a
steel,
journal?
it's Gustav's journal, and it doesn't have
Sick.
any like written material in it, but it's just sketches. It's like concept art.
Okay.
But it's all stuff from the first act. So
Cool.
it's all stuff that's like, oh, you know, we're not going to spoil anything for you if you haven't played the game yet. But here's just like monster designs. Here's some like the characters. Here's like our early drafts of CL. And so it's very cool. It's
Yeah,
very
that's
neat.
sick. The music box is very cool.
Yeah. It's
It
very cool.
looks like it's high quality too.
It is. It's very nice. I mean, I'm no music box aficionado, but it looks good to me.
So do you want to move on to SK's Nest?
Yeah, and then that's where we. And did you do some of the like open world stuff afterward?
I did everything that I feel like I could. I have a few questions about stuff that seemed inaccessible. So we finish up at the Gestrel Village. You get the password from Golgra.
What is the password? Golgor tells you what you have to say.
I mean, is it not the thing that Gustav yells?
This is what she says. She says, Golgor says, do you want me to just read this? Because
Yeah,
it's
just read
very
it.
good. Okay, so this is perhaps my favorite moment in the entire game. You come back to Eske's Nest. There is a very large gestural sort of blocking the way. And if you go here before, he does say, like, hey, you need the password from Golgra. Golgra said that the password is you have to shout as loud as you can, get out of my way. Which is great. And
When
so.
you so when, if I'm about to recap and then you ask me, do you know what it is? That makes me feel like I don't know what it is.
It's just that. It's just get out of my way. That's what she says.
And so you arrive at SK's Nest and you go and talk to the Gestrel again, and you Gustav yells that,
Yes.
and he's like,
He's
oh
very shy
geez,
about
you don't have to
it.
be so mean.
So he screams, get out of my way. And the gentle response is, "Geez, you don't need to be so rude." You can hear his voice is like quavering. He's all upset. And Gustav immediately is like, "Oh my God, no! Like, this—it's a password. Like, I'm just saying the password." And his response is, "Well, I don't know. Gogra never
Golgra
told me
never
the
told me.
password, but whatever. Just go in." And he moves. Oh,
Which
it's
is
so funny.
brilliant because you have the opportunity to interact with him prior to knowing what the password is. And he's like,
Yes.
no, you need a password.
You need a
So,
password. He just didn't know what the password was. She never told him. And Gustav, of course, is like, I'm so sorry. Like,
Everyone like walks ahead and he stays behind.
Yeah,
Yeah, and he
it's.
apologizes.
Yeah, Mael says, come on, it's a gestural. He'll have forgotten it about a minute.
And yeah.
It's like, yeah, probably.
Which is just an incredibly harsh observation to make of an entire species of people.
Well, it is true. It seems to be true, sort of physiologically, that they don't have long memories.
Which is a awful awful thing to have if you are effectively immortal.
Yeah. It keeps things fresh.
Maybe.
We go into the nest. What do you take so what are your what sorry, what is your takeaway on the nest in general? Because we talked a lot about like the aesthetics of this game, and I think,
Another beautiful environment. Very cool, like blues and purples in this space. There's some like really neat kind of like fuchsia or pinks that are kind of dispersed in the space. You have a lot of like really shallow pools. You have these really big hanging lanterns hanging from chains or just floating. And it's just, another like very beautiful space. You get to walk along this narrow passage, this kind of like cliff bridge. And then you have these two big pools that are on either side of you. And you're like, you can immediately see that there's Nevrons down there, or a mime in this case, that you're like, oh, I need to go interact with them. But there's not a clear way to get down there. And I thought this was fun because I like ran back and forth a few times, tried to figure out how to get down there. And it's a closed, invisible barrier game, right? So you don't know that you can't pass something. You can't fall off spaces that are going to kill you. And there's no falling damage, right? So you just like, after running back a few few times, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna try to jump and see what happens. I don't know why I didn't try it immediately, because you can't fall. And so I jumped down, and then it's like, oh, there's the rungs to climb back up, of course. So you get a fun little interaction with the Nevron that likes to float away from you, and that you have to chase back to it, the like colorful platform
A
that it ends
petanque
on.
is what they are called. I don't know if that means anything. I'm going to look that up.
I'm sure it does.
Petanque. But keep going.
You get to interact with a mime. You end up in this larger cavern that has like multiple tiers to it, where you meet Eskier, a very large, very, very, very large, kind of chubby Gestrel, who has this like simultaneously booming yet hollow voice that is like very playful in nature. Everyone in the party is just blown away that Eskier is real,
Yeah.
because he
He's
is
like a
this
big
creature of
clown.
legend. He is a giant clown, yeah, for sure. He's very excited to see them. And he the, so the party asks for help crossing the sea, and he is willing to oblige if the party is willing to get back his rock.
Rock.
And they're like, why do you need a rock when you can just swim us across the sea? And he's like, well, there's too many of you. You're too heavy. And I can fly too, but either way, there's too many of you. That's too heavy for me, and I need my special rock in order to do it.
Yeah,
And they're
Flory.
like, Flory, yeah. And they're like, that makes no sense. But if that's what you need us to do, and he's like, great, you need to get it from my arch nemesis, Francois, who's also my neighbor. He's right over there. So can you just go get it from him? And they're like,
Yes. He says, I need you to get him from my art. Flory was stolen by my arch nemesis, the one whose every step shakes the foundation of the world, the one known as, and then he like whispers,
Francois.
Francois.
Yeah.
They go, Gustav says, let me guess, Francois is located deep in Nevron infested territory. And he says, oh no, he's right over there. He's my neighbor.
So the party reluctantly goes and visits Francois's cavern, and you walk in, and there's like a little platform, and you see a big old rock in the middle of it. And at first you're like, oh, that's Flory, right? And then as you walk in the room, all the pillars light up with flame around the big old rock. And then the rock begins to talk to you, as it is also a Gestrel who
So these are
is, or
not
sorry,
gestures. Yeah,
are they
these are
Nevrons?
like, no, they are distinct beings. Like,
Interesting.
Eskier is his own thing.
Okay.
Francois is his own thing.
Okay. Well, you interact with the rock that you think is Flory, and then it is obviously not Flory. It is a living creature, and it is Francois. And he is a self-proclaimed turtle.
He says, a rock. I am not a rock. Do you have rocks for eyes? You certainly have rocks for brains. I'm clearly a turtle. And then he screams, SKA, stop sending hooligans over here.
And so, in order to you ask for Flory, and he gets mad and attacks you, because his version of events is like the same thing as Eskier's, where like Flory is his, and Eskier sends people to steal Flory from him. And then you fight him, and he's relatively easy to beat, other than having a bunch of shields.
There's a great moment in the cutscene leading up to the fight where he like screams like he's going to start fighting and then he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And Gustav, like, they all draw their weapons and they look at each other like, so do we, are we gonna kill this guy? Like,
Yeah.
do we have to fight? There's like a full 10 second span of them looking at each other being like, I mean, all right.
Yeah, and then I don't even think he got a hit off.
No, really?
I think I hit him, knocked him out in one turn, or beat him in one turn, because you don't actually kill him.
No.
And then he's like, Haha, I never had Flory. And then you go back to Eskier and you give him the bad news. And then he like yells back at Francois. Francois yells back at him and it tells him the location of Flory, which is at the stone,
Stonewave
is it
Cliffs.
Stonewave Cliffs? And then Eskier's like, fuck yeah, I'll help you guys and I'll meet you outside. And he jumps and just like flies away, and in the process knocks over the pillar that you need in order to conveniently exit the cave and find the remaining chroma. And then you have access to Eskier on the overworld map, which unlocks lots of additional content.
Yeah, Eskier, you can mount him, and it's sort of like a way to move more quickly around the map. And there are big, sort of like inky rocks in the way, kind of the same that were in Lumiere. And he can bust right through them and clear some paths for you.
Yep, and I don't play as the characters on the overworld map anymore. I trigger Eskier as the mount, and then I run around as him because he is hilarious to watch move in his animation.
And he always has something to say too.
Yeah, and as I texted you, the one and only thing that I revealed prior to recording, which is Eskier is clearly the best character in the game because I could listen to him talk all day. Everything he
He's
says is
great.
funny. He's just a excited, weird little creature.
Yeah, he's very like jester like. He's like a big fat jester.
Yeah,
And he's
he's like a
huge.
water balloon, teardrop shaped creature, with
Yeah.
like a tiny little head with a
And
mask
tiny
on it.
little arms and like tiny little feet.
Yeah.
Just another thing that I want to make sure we don't miss is like he speaks a lot in like riddles or just like sayings. One of the first things he says is like a rolling stone gathers no moss. And then at the end of their first conversation, he says, "Men trip not on mountains, they stumble upon stones." It's like,
And
okay.
specifically in that conversation, when you first approach him, he knows Seal, and
Yeah.
he specifically references the fact that Seal cannot swim, which is something that she is afraid of. And that trips her out because as you leave your interaction with him, Gustav asks what's wrong, and she's just like, I don't know, but he seems so familiar. Which I think is a interesting way to start brewing fan theories for the remainder of the game.
She says later at camp, she says during that conversation we sort of talked about where they're like a little flirtatious, and they sort of talk about how they both experienced like some pretty
Traumatic
rough, yeah, some
thoughts.
pretty traumatic thoughts and experiences after the beach. She says, or Gustav says, "I think you have a new best friend." And she says, "Eskier, yeah, he's sweet, and somehow he knows I'm a terrible swimmer." When he said that, it made me think of, you know, which we don't know, but we can kind of gather is like she maybe didn't have such a great time trying to swim one time and maybe almost drowned.
And it's clearly an event that they've shared together, like, or Gustav is at least privy to.
He's aware of this history. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up about what SK says.
It's also very funny that when you get back to camp two, SGA is now in camp,
Oh yeah, he's just
towering
there.
over everyone above
Yeah.
the fire pit. And he
Yeah.
is much smaller in camp than he is when you interact with him in the level.
Yeah. It's good.
Which is funny. You
Once
also
you
have the opportunity in SGA's nest to find another Gestrel kid.
Yes. Yeah. There's another one of the lost Gestrels. Just like nearby.
Oh yeah, it's just outside the nest. He's not even in the
You should definitely keep collecting those. You get some good stuff for finding those lost kids. Because the babysitter is like in your camp, not helping.
Not helping, yep.
Yeah.
And none of the kids seem to want to go back either, which is hilarious. When you interact with them, they're like, leave me alone. And you're like, no, I have to do this.
Yeah.
So and so is looking for you. And they're like, oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah, they're always like, I mean, I guess. If you feel so strongly about it. I love the way SGA talks. I think we both love the way SGA talks. I'm just gonna highlight one more little conversation, which is if you talk to him in camp, he says, I haven't seen a human in so long. You're much
This
tinier
is
than I remember.
really
And
interesting.
Gustav says, when was the last time you saw a human? And Eski says, oh, my best friend, when he asked for my help. And he says, your best friend is a human? I thought Francois was your best friend. And Eski says, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's clear that he is one of those characters, sort of like a Gandalf, or like a, for the Brandon Sanderson readers, he's like Wit. You
Yeah,
know,
Boyd.
he knows stuff. He knows a lot of stuff, more than he'll ever let on. Although in those cases, it feels like they are purposefully obscuring something, and this just seems like he just doesn't think you need to know
Yeah.
or doesn't
He
care.
is intentionally obscuring things to make it more difficult to find out the truth
Yeah.
or to just throw you off what you think the truth might be.
Yeah. He also mentions somebody else. Who does he say? He says da, 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 da. He says something about being able to fly into space.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
What is that? He says, yes, when you come back with what you think is Flory and isn't Flory. He says he has more rocks that he uses to help, you know, get around. And he says, alas, I've lost them all. I can do much more than swim. I can fly into space. I used to fly all the time with my best friend Verso. Which is a name we've heard before.
Is it?
Yeah, we have heard Verso's name in a few places. Verso, I think, is first named by Noko when you leave the manor in the Flying
Oh,
Waters.
yep.
He says, Verso's gonna be mad that I let these people through. I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
We also hear about Verso. There's a, not a journal entry, but someone in the Jestral Village says something about, like, oh, Verso said blah blah blah. And it's just like a little thing. So there's somebody out there named Verso is running around.
Cool.
Something to think about.
I love that SGA's voice is like the sound effect that's used, or the recording, actual recording of what like beluga whales sound like underwater, where it's like this really deep but also hollow kind of like, oh, I don't know how
Yes,
to.
it does sound sort of like whale noises.
Yeah. It's just really good. It's
It is
like
good.
listening to the Lumiere song on repeat. It's just one of those things that you could listen to all day and be, or like an accent, right? It's the accent
Yeah.
that everyone like kind of can't get over. He just has that, they nailed a voice that
It.
you want to hear all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's good because he's going to talk a lot the rest of this game. There's
So
plenty of SGA content.
after SGA's nest, you can travel around. You in the top left corner, you can visit Yellow Harvest and Lost Woods. And past Lost Woods, there is another location that does not seem to be accessible yet. Is that true?
I believe so.
Okay, because you get there's two locations that you can visit in this episode, in this clearing of levels, where the visual is different than the
Yes.
other levels.
It
And
switches to a fixed camera, which is at a distance, and it takes on a sort of like diorama feel.
yeah, and it's very awkward. It's kind of unsettling, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially because you know from the map that there's a location past it. And so you are attempting to get to another portal, like on the opposite end, perhaps, of that space with the fixed camera view, but you can't really see your characters very well.
Yeah, there's nothing past that.
Right. But you don't know that. And artistically, it's cool. It's a nice switch up from the rest of the setting, the visuals, but it's a little unsettling when you first experience it. So you have Yellow
All
Harvest.
of these have, so these diorama looking areas just have an item.
Right.
It's usually a record or a journal.
Yeah, more songs to play. So Yellow Harvest and Lost Woods up in the northwest corner of the map, that kind of peninsula. And then you have the Twilight Quarry, which is just south of Eskay's Nest, which is another little beach kind of that heads into a fixed diorama like view. And then south of that and Flying Water, you have another little peninsula that you can run out to with red trees. That's the ancient Gestural City. And that's the biggest area that you can visit that has additional content. But again, there's another location past that that you can't get to further out onto the
You'll get
peninsula.
to that later. And Yellow Harvest is the only one that's like a full on level with new stuff, with new like enemies and a boss at the end. And
Right. Yeah. Okay.
did you do Yellow Harvest?
I did. Yep. I was just mixing. I couldn't remember if it was the ancient Gestural Village or the Yellow Harvest. That was like the full zone.
It's the Yellow Harvest. I don't have much to say about it other than like the rest of the game. It's gorgeous, the music is good, and there's items to get. It's kind of it.
Items to get. There's new Nevrons that you interact with that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's sort of astounding, and I think you will continue to be surprised by how many different kinds of Nevrons there are in this game.
I did find time to go back to this the small Burguan. How did we
I think
decide?
it's Bourgeon.
Burgeon.
Bourgeon.
And he's big now.
He big now.
And yeah, there wasn't much more to that.
He spits out an item for you.
Yeah.
I don't
And
even
then
remember
you
what it is.
yeah. And then that's I think that's it. You can't go to the location that's just west of that. On the map yet. That's in the red kind of fern looking space. But it kind of got it got revealed on the map, unveiled.
Can't you? Did you find the fountain? So there is like a dish. It looks like a dish laying on the ground, and it has like some kind of liquid or steam or smoke or something in it somewhere. I know you can get to it now because I've done it. It's over in that area, and you can like pour chroma onto it, and stuff will happen.
I'm just running there right now. We're gonna try it.
Wow, this is you're witnessing this live, listener. Or
You're
hearing it.
hearing Vulpes watch the colors reflect in my glasses
Yes.
on screen. Okay, so you can go in the redwoods, but it says danger. So I did go in there.
Okay. Yeah, you can
Yeah.
go in there though. That is
Okay.
just another place you can go.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to add?
Fun shit that Nevron that's massive that's eating the mountain is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of hoping to like get up close to its face and having some kind of interaction with it. I was a little disappointed that didn't happen. Because there's like multiple, I think, cut scenes where you kind of like either stare at it or you talk to a smaller Nevron that talks about it.
A gestural. There's a gestural there. He
Is it a
says, like,
gestural?
yeah, he
Yeah.
says, like, whoa, these guys are real big, but they don't even like fighting. They just eat
They just
mountains.
eat. Yeah, eat the environment. Yeah.
I think one of them says, like, that's a real hassle, or something like that.
Yeah. I'm looking at SGA in the overworld map, and he's just so goofy.
It's just good to look at. It's good to look
Yeah.
at.
His shorts when he's running just looks
Oh
like
my
he's
God. Yeah. He's great. He's great. Yeah. All right. So for our next episode, which again will come out next Monday, you will be playing through Stonewave Cliffs. We'll be playing through the Stonewave Cliffs, and there's like camp stuff to do after that. There's open world stuff to do after that. The next place is called the Forgotten Battlefield. That will stop before we get there.
Okay.
So you can do anything up to the Forgotten Battlefield. And good.
Can we come back to this space on the map if
Yeah.
we move into Act Two?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No,
Okay.
nothing is ever going to be like time gated to you.
Okay.
You can always go
Only
back.
Lumiere.
Yeah, you can go
Got it.
back. Yeah, so if you want to play along, please, we encourage you to play along with us. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/tableforTwoPod. Normally we do TTRPG playthroughs and discussions, and those are still happening on the main episodes that come out on Fridays. We are playing Lord Sworn this month with a special guest.
Woot woot.
Woot
Shout out
woot.
to Shiloh, who's not with us this moment,
Because
but
he
is with
died.
us in spirit
Because he's dead.
in Lordsworn.
In
He's
Lords.
dead.
Yeah, in Lords Worn. In Lords Worn, a lot of us died.
A
A
lot of death happens. Yep.
lot of death
I
happens in
think
Lords Worn.
almost the whole world died in that. Gods died
Yeah.
for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how it starts. So definite God death.
Well, and
Yeah.
ended, I think,
And
technically.
yeah, true, true, true. So be sure to check that out, Lord Sworn. I had a really fun time with Lord Sworn. I think we all did.
It's because you're obsessed with Dark Souls and
True.
Elden Ring.
It's true. It's true. I was just playing Nightreign before we got on this call.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yep.
You don't have to try to convince me on that one.
Yep. Well, I think that's gonna do it for us. So, what's that thing? What's that thing we say at the end of the show? What's that thing? What's that thing you say?
Something about paying for the food that we don't ever have money for. It's the thing that you have to say to the waiter to get them to come over and charge you, which is when you really sit and think about it, is like kind of a stupid thing for the service industry to implement. Because like I have to, as a customer, force you to charge me for food.
Yeah, I could just leave.
I could just leave. I mean, it's
You're not
legal and
my
you're for sure
dad.
gonna get
You can't stop me.
No, but you can call people that will.
You're not my dad or a teacher. You can't stop me. You can't tell me what to do.
You have no say in this.
No, you don't. But we should probably call him over. Do
All right.
you want me to do?
Check, check, please.
L'addition, s'il vous plaît.
I'm sorry.